We must love Allah, we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beyond all else. Even if we are confronted by 99.9% of the world, we will say Allah and His Rasul. We will say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We will live for that, we will die for that. And that means an entire system, alright, an entire code of conduct, economy, politics, social, everything, moral life, social life, everything is dictated to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alright, so what I am saying is, do not try and side with this kuffar party or that kuffar party or this particular kuffar policy or that kuffar policy, whether it is called, no matter what, by what name it is called or what ism it is called, it is not going to help us or see us through in any way or bring us closer to Allah and His Rasul. And when I use the word kufr policy, then do understand, some may say, why is Mawlana using the word kufr policy? Kufr policy means any policy that differs from the social, economic and political principles laid down by Islamic law, Islamic Sharia. All man-made laws that differ from Allah and His Rasul's commandments and laws are based on exploitation of man, on enslaving man. Islamic Sharia policy that enunciated by Quran and Hadith seeks to free mankind from enslavement to rulers, kings, dictators, and man-made laws. Islam came to free man. The economic and social policies of the men of the world, power seekers, power hungry people of the world, is one which is meant to subjugate man to man. In other words, where man rules by the power of selfishness and greed. So bear these basic fundamentals from now, and now I give you these directions. It's very, very important for you to remember these are the principles that are based on Quran and Hadith and the Sharia law of Islam. Alright, so as far as South Africa is concerned, no matter what is worked out by CADESA, no matter what is worked out by the parties that are sitting and negotiating and trying to work out a new constitution and new policies for South Africa, we Muslims should stand there, and whoever Muslims do participate there, unfortunately we've got those that are going along with one party or another. We are either pro-ANC or pro-government or pro-this and pro-that. Unfortunate. Deeply unfortunate. The ulamas themselves have not much to say. It's unfortunate also that we sitting on the outside and saying, if the three groups, the Muslim Judicial Council, which is the largest ulama representative body of the Cape, and the two jamiats could come to some kind of union and understanding, we would have had participation. Unfortunately, the Muslim Judicial Council declined to be a part. Muslims are not aware of this by and large, that the Muslim Judicial Council declined to be a party in this kind of Islamic unity. They've had whatever their reasons are, but they refused, the Jamiats of Natal and Transvaal, to sit together and to seek participation in CADESA and to make their input. Whatever the disagreement was, I do not want to enlarge on that. That is private, I suppose it is confidential. However, we would have had an input, and in that input we had a lot of misgivings also. My personal contribution to that was, we speak nothing but Allah and His Rasul. Even if entire CADESA disagrees with us, even if they say it is impractical, we would say it is practical, it is the only way, it will be proven, it has been proven in the past, it will be proven in time to come. Unfortunately, many of our ulamas look at practicality, and they think of the Islamic laws and Sharia laws as a dream, impractical in today's life and today's time. They say it must be developed over a period, and we'll come to that, you know. So we must use the democratic principles that exist at the moment and see how closely it follows the Islamic law, and then we must accept that, because we are dealing with kuffar. My own belief is, even if we are dealing with kuffar, we spell out our policies and we say take it or leave it. You take it or you leave it, because that is the only way. and we are proud of what we have. We have a proud heritage. We have a record that stretches over 1,000 years. I have repeated this several times. No government in the world has ruled as we have done. The Ottoman Empire ruled over entire Europe and Asia. There's a story of 600 years of rule. Prior to that, 400 years of rule. We have ruled the world, brothers. We have governments and courts and jurisdiction and legislation and judiciaries, man, that stretches over a long period. We have a proud heritage. We have nothing to lose. We have no face to lose by this handful of kuffar that are sitting here. And I say, whether they are ANC, whether they are nationalists, whether they are Democratic Party, whether they are PAC, whether they are ZAPO, no matter who they are, we Muslims are the rightful heirs and rulers of the world. If we want to work to it, we must hold and cherish the Sharia of Islam. So brothers, as a class, I give this direction because I would like you and love you to hold on to that and to die with that iman and belief. Even if we in our lifetime never see Muslims succeed and come into power as a handful, what is it? Even 1% of the population of South Africa, immaterial. Even as 1%, I consider we are in the majority. Majority in which sense? We are majority in the sense that we must live in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah can allow not 1%, not 0.5%, minus 1%, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make rulers of the world. Allah can. It is in Allah's will. It is in Allah's qudra, Allah's power. We must live for that day and work for that day. Inshallah. Jazakumullah, brothers. Let's proceed now with our lesson for today. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Our sustainer, our creator, our maker, our controller And we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And we also send Allah's choicest blessings upon the family, upon the children of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his beloved companions known to us as the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Our subject is Shaitan's plan for man. We are here busy with a discussion, call it an interview, between Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan, the cursed one, held in the graveyard of Madinatul Munawwara, known as Jannatul Baqi. In this graveyard, Qabrastan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Shaitan and several questions and answers were exchanged. We were dealing, without repetition of what has been discussed in the past, the question posed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Shaitan, what are the features, what are the traits, what are the behavioral qualities of those who will go to Jahannam. What kind of people will go to Jahannam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Shaitan. And Shaitan then begins to reply and describe the kind of people and the characteristics of those people who will go to Jahannam. I already started on this, tried to complete it but could not, and reached number 23. Brothers, it will take me very, very long to go over it all. Unfair it will be also on those who regularly attend to go through those 23 traits and characteristics, features of those who will go to Jahannam. I will proceed now from where I left off 2 weeks ago before Easter, and that is with number 24. The feature and the characteristic, says Shaitan to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the people who will go to Jahannam will be that they will be very selfish people. Of selfishness and detestation of others, they will detest others. What I've written down, the words of Shaitan are to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the kind of people, one of the kinds of people, one of the varieties of people who will go to Jahannam are those who will be extremely selfish, greedy people, and they will detest other people. Alright? Then the 25th kind of person or persons that will go to Jahannam are the people who are careless, indifferent, and uncaring about important issues and matters. Subhanallah. Look at this. People who are undisciplined in their life, they just go on from hour to hour and time to time, and they make salah whenever it is suitable for them, and they carry out their deeds whenever they start work, whenever they will, finish up whenever they will. There is complete indiscipline in their life. They are the kind of people that accept the suggestions and the promptings and the whisperings of shaitan. What shaitan is basically saying here is they are his slaves, and they are careless and indifferent and uncaring on important issues and matters that affect their lives. 26th description of having no hope of receiving the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. A Muslim, any true believer who does not have the hope of clemency and of being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sins, for his wrongs, for his evils, and for whatever else he has done in the world, and he makes dua and sincerely seeks through prayer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and repents for his actions and his deeds in the world, he must have this hope. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not give up hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody who does not have such hope and faith in receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter is a person who will be adjudged to be suitable enough by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter Jahannam. 27th description, says shaitan, is of living without hope of receiving the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in this world and in the hereafter. We make dua, we pray, we seek from Allah, we turn to Allah with all kinds of hopes and prayer. We must always live with the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us our wishes. Obviously, providing they are all good wishes and good hopes and good prayers. If a person has no such hope, it is a sign of a person, it signifies one who will go into Jahannam. Brothers, do bear in mind as we proceed with number 28. All these will be the characteristics of those who will go to Jahannam. At the same time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's question and the answers of shaitan teach us a lesson. They point to us that whatever of these characteristics and features and behavior we may have in the conduct of our life, we must get rid of them quickly. Because here we are being pointed by none other than Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By him asking these questions and receiving replies from shaitan, what we are receiving is the significance of these replies, which means that if we have any of these weak traits in our character, then we must get rid of it through the power of will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, power of mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted unto us. And you know the first way to do so is by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help. You make the prayer, you make the effort, intention comes from you. You make the intention, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah to guide you and to help you to get rid of these evil habits and bad habits that you have in you and weak habits that you have that are part of your character, and thereafter you make the effort, you make the necessary sacrifice. Guaranteed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, and the effect of shaitan's whisperings onto you will and into you will be removed. It may go stage by stage. It's a developmental process, but it will be achieved. You can be assured of that. Number 28. Another feature and sign, says shaitan, of those people who will go to Jahannam is of those who are of being discontented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them and wishing for more. Greed basically, lust basically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them a lot of boon, a lot of blessings, a lot of bounties, a lot of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person. Every one of us, no matter how little we have, or no matter how much we have, everything is from Allah, and we must be satisfied with that. Now, when one expresses discontent and dissatisfaction with what Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon them, then that becomes a sign of one who will go to Jahannam, especially when he asks for more. And more he gets, and he asks for more. And the more he gets, he asks for more. And it becomes a complete life of greed, a life of avarice, and all the other evils that are synonymous with selfishness and greed, all of them enter his life, and of course then he goes astray. Well, that is the work of shaitan, that is the plan of shaitan, that is the design of shaitan to lead people astray. And he is going to waswas you towards more greed and more greed and more greed, and you fall into his trap, an old trap set by shaitan which man should know very, very well. And of course he goes on, and we see, brothers, you look around us, we have friends, we have like brothers, we have perhaps parents, we have uncles, we have aunts, we have people living close to us that live with so much greed, they are completely blind to ibadah, to zikrullah, tilawa, no time, they cannot spend a little time. Which Muslim cannot recite Quran every day, cannot perform zikrullah every day? You tell me. Which Muslim is so busy that he cannot make his full ibadah every day? Which Muslim is so busy that he cannot sit after performing first salah to make a little zikr and to make a dua? What is the hurry? What is the rush? What if death comes upon you and you have to... What if sickness, illness, disease befalls you? What happens then? You come to a stop, a comma I mean, full stop comes with death. When the comma comes, when the semicolon comes, when the dash comes, what happens then in life? So be prepared, we should be prepared, and we should take life together with all the ibadah that accompany life. So if one is desirous of more and more and greed, then obviously that is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. Who says so? Shaitan says so. To whom does Shaitan say so? He says so in the graveyard of Medina to Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sign number 29 says Shaitan, and remember the numbers I am giving you, it is not so numbered in the kitab, alright? Number 29, of desiring, says Shaitan, of desiring permanence in this dunya, in this world, meaning wishing for a lengthy life in this world and for, or perhaps an everlasting life on earth, thereby forgetting death, forgetting qiyama. In other words, I have written here in brackets, forgetting the trials and tribulations of the qabr, of the grave, and of the severity of the day of judgment. All the trials that, and the tests that will take place on the day of judgment, one wants to forget about it and wipe it out of his mind. They don't want to hear about it. You know how many people fear listening to our cassettes on the life after death? Many people are fearful of it. And how many there are who have listened to it and then have learnt a lot from it and have changed the course of their lives also. So there are all kinds of people, but there are many people who do not want to hear about deen. They therefore do not attend lectures. They do not want to read literature on life of the hereafter. All the material, metaphysical beliefs of Islam. What is the reason? Here's the reason given here. Shaitan says that these are people who want to live permanently in this world. They wish for a long, long metaphysical beliefs of Islam. What is the reason? Here's the reason given here. Shaitan says that these are people who want to live permanently in this world. They wish for a long, long life on earth and an everlasting life on earth, and thereby they forget death and qiyamah. So this is a sign of a person, of persons who will go to Jahannam. The 30th sign of people who will go to Jahannam, says Shaitan, is of not giving or sharing with their family or needy people when they possess more than the required amount for themselves, but rather accumulating it and storing it up. Allahu Akbar. Listen to this one. Shaitan says a sign of people who will go to Jahannam is that they do not wish to share their wealth of giving or sharing with their family. And their family here means their blood kith and kin, blood relatives. Alright? Not distant relatives, their blood kith and kin, or with needy peoples. When one possesses more than the required amount, whether it is in the form of money that they have, or property that they have, belongings, possessions that they are not prepared to share with others. They are only for themselves, which is also a description of greed. Alright? But rather, they go on accumulating and hoarding. Their wardrobes are full of clothes, brothers. Their sons have lined up you know, stacks and stacks of suits and shirts and trousers and vests, underwear and, oh, you name it, man, hundreds of pairs, you know, 30, 40 pairs of shoes, more than sufficient. And every time a new model comes out, a new shape comes out, a new fashion comes out, they are the first to purchase it, and all very, very expensive. All right? So, liberal doses of everything they have, and never thinking of their neighbor, or never thinking, well, in the sense here, never thinking of the needy people, and not even thinking of poor families. All of us have families. There are those who are wealthy and rich, and in our families we have those that are very poor. The indigent, the poor, the needy. Muslims, brothers, you know stories that I have heard this Ramadan, when we took around food parcels to distribute. You may think Mitchell's Plain, Valhalla Park, Montehevo, Hanover Park, and these people, the Muslims that are living there, are very well off. That's what you may think. But brothers, there are people who are opening fast there. They can't even afford dates, just on water. Our brothers and sisters, but people who do not want to stretch out their hand, people who have meager meals, minimum they survive on, their wardrobes, if you were to open up, then there's a lot of gaps, empty shelves in their wardrobes. In their homes, they live on the bare minimum, brothers. You know the story of unemployment today. You know what increasing rate of unemployment. You know how hard it is to find work. You know how expensive goods are, food especially, is today. We need not ask. All these things are so, cost of living is so high. You tell me, what an income must a family have in order to survive today? Do we think? Very few of us really know what is going on. I am sure many of us are not even aware within a 10 kilometer radius of our homes. Leave 10 kilometers, even within 5 or 3 kilometers of our homes, the Muslim families that are living, what is their condition? I am sure if we were to make a survey and we go to Muslim families living within 5 kilometer radius of how many they know, Muslim families that live around them. I am sure that there are Muslims who won't be able to tell you even who lives at the end, how many Muslim families live at the end of their own street. Leave alone the next street or the street after, and even less we know what their condition is. That is the feeling that we have for our own brothers and sisters. Shaitan says, these are the features and the characteristics of the people who will go to Jahannam. The 31st feature and characteristic, says Shaitan to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of being miserly, of being niggardly, and of being stingy. All these are varieties and forms of greed that he is naming. Basically greed. And remember, when Shaitan is saying this, you and I must bear in mind that the enforcer or instructor or prompter or whisperer or suggester of niggardliness and greediness and lust and stinginess is whom? Shaitan is the one. That is why he can actually and aptly, ably describe to us the characteristics and qualities of those who will go to Jahannam, because he instills this into them. He increases the lust, he increases the greed and the stinginess within people. So he is aware. He's got a long history. He can name to you how he has brought down people. All of us have greed. You know, it may be 1%, or on a scale of 1 to 10, some of us may, very few of us have minus 5, very few of us. All of us are in the scale between 5 and 10 of greediness. Let us be open, let us admit, we must put that matter right. Islam teaches, now it is not a philosophy or a theory, practices, Islam has practiced this. It teaches us to practice sharing and giving. Nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba ikram's time, they never had meal for the next time if there was a hungry man near on their door or near their door or in their neighborhood. They never worried or considered their next meal. And their action was that they would themselves take the meal to that deserving neighbor or guest or whoever. They would take it. They would convey. Today we think, man, if he needs food, let him come to us and ask us. No, brothers, Muslims are not beggars. He's not going to come and ask you. He doesn't deserve to. And that is why in the signs of Qiyamah we learn that there will come a time when Muslims will take their zakat, We're not talking about sadaqah. They will take their zakat and go knocking from door to door to find people whom they can give their zakat. And when they open the, when a wealthy Muslim knocks on the door of a poor Muslim, and a Muslim who was poor, was known to be poor in the past, he knocks on his door and he says, "Brother, I brought you my zakat." And that Muslim will say, "You know something, when I needed your zakat, I never saw your face. You bringing zakat to me now? Thank you very much, shukran. Take your zakat and go and find somebody else. I'm okay now. By I make shukr of Allah, I am not deserving. I cannot take zakat any longer." And he will go knocking from door to door in his own neighborhood, not finding a single Muslim deserving of his zakat monies. That stage is coming, brothers. So what I'm saying basically is that the 31st feature described by shaitan is of those who are miserly, niggardly and stingy peoples. The 32nd, or sign number 32 of people who will go to Jahannam, say shaitan, of being envious and jealous of those who are better off. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim who is envious and jealous of other people that are better off, be they believing people or unbelieving people, is immaterial. We have this problem here. We say, if I'm speaking to my brother, I'll tell him, "Brothers, you know, we've been denied and rejected and oppressed for so long in South Africa that the Group Areas Act restricted us. It placed such acts of suppression upon us that it has denied us and it has given everything to the white man. Would the result that the white man is flourishing today, he's built an empire, he's got all the wealth, look at the homes they possess, look at the wealth they possess, but he speaks with envy in his tone and with jealousy in his heart." Brothers, that is given to him by whom? In the final instance, who has given it to him? Who is the bestower and the giver of all bounties and blessings and favors to mankind on earth, to both believer and unbeliever? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I restrict them from nothing, neither air, nor water, nor earth, nor wealth. Muslims, that is not for you." How many times is this repeated? This theme is repeated in Quran and in Hadith and in the practice of the wealthiest, kindest, richest and finest in mankind, Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about his patched clothes? What about the empires that existed all around him? Has he ever expressed the desire for the wealth of Persia or of Rome or of Greece or any other part of the world? Never. Never. He shunned that wealth. How Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala cried and wept when he came in and saw the creases and the marks on the back of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying on a reed mat. When he awoke and Sayyidina Umar saw this, and Sayyidina Umar says, "You know, Ya Rasulullah, I have traveled all over the world. I have traveled to so many parts of the world and I've seen viceroys and royalty and kings and queens, and I've seen such a pomp and luxury and wealth in the palaces of the world and in the courts of the world. I have seen such wealth, such pomp, such splendor, and you, Ya Rasulullah, who's the king of them all, look at you, how you are sleeping, and look at the marks on your body, and look at the discomfiture that you suffer from." And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam merely smiled and said, "Oh Umar, it is not in this. This is not what Allah seeks, the wealth and the life and the splendor and the pomp of this world. That is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks from us. We are all strangers, we are journeymen. We pass along this life, on this road, onto better things, onto greater future, onto the eternal life in the hereafter." So this is what is expressed here when we say that one of their signs is the envy and the jealousy that we have for those who are better off. Muslims, be compassionate, be forgiving. No matter what they possess, what the kuffar possess, what the wealthy possess, we have no reason for envy and jealousy. Jealousy and envy is induced through the nafs of man, the nafs which is the seat of shaitan, and through which shaitan waswases us. He enters the mind of man through that nafs, and he sits inside that nafs, and now he expels his odor, his stink within the mind of man. He sends the stink of envy and jealousy inside of man, and he encourages man through his suggestions, evil suggestions, to become more envious and more greedy. He introduces, and when we make such utterances that apartheid did this to us and apartheid did that to us, no brothers, apartheid has done no harm to any Muslim. Suffering has done no harm to any Muslim. Oppression has never... If you want to know of oppression, think of the oppression that was suffered by who? By suffered for 3 years by whom? Who suffered for 3 years oppression of a kind which very few people, or I would say nobody in history has ever suffered. The 3 years of oppression and suppression and denial suffered by Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his whole family. You tell me, what was that? When they were scraping off water early in the morning, scraping the dew from plants, from leaves and from stones, and using that for drinking. When children wailed and cried at night because there was no food to eat, night after night, for 3 years, brothers, you imagine. That's almost 1,000 days of incarceration. You think, tell me, not allowed to go in, not allowed to go out, people, you know, suffering from thirst and hunger, for eating the bark of trees, they finished eating all the leaves, stems, roots. Brothers, what kind of suffering is that? And you tell me apartheid made you suffer. I tell you, during this 40 years of apartheid, or 200 years or 300 years of apartheid, you had a meal on your, every day you had enough to eat, sufficient to eat, sufficient to clothe, you had a roof over your head. Allah provided you more. And you want to know about suffering? Think of the suffering under Fir'aun of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and every other prophet. All the Anbiya suffered oppression such as you and I have never suffered. So what are we talking about suffering? We have never suffered. We don't know the meaning of suffering. Yes, it has been a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A test, yes. A trial, yes. Has our iman increased or has it decreased? Has it grown? Or has it lessened? Brothers, what we are saying basically, one of the signs of those who will go to Jahannam is complaining all the time. Complaining and complaining and never ending with their complaints. Envy, jealousy of others. The 33rd sign of those who will go to Jahannam, say Shaitan, is of showing off in ibadah. Making ibadah to show off to people. Allahu Akbar. رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Alright, showing off in ibadah, the 33rd sign. I don't want to elaborate too much on it, but there are those of our brothers and sisters who make ibadah merely as a sign of ostentation, and merely as a sign, they are merely pompous in their behavior when they do so. On their own, and privately perhaps, they are not so punctual and regular and disciplined in their ibadah. But let visitors come along, or if they want to, you know, they are on the committee of a masjid or a, you know, a big organization, then the guy comes in, and of course he comes in and he makes long lengthy ibadah and long lengthy du'as and all the rest of it. But in his privacy, no fajr salah. Who is there to wake? So to watch him or see him. So there's no fajr, hardly any isha and so on. Now and then he just makes ibadah. So the community or his family or his friends or his companions or his neighborhood knows, man, this is a very pious man. But there's nothing within him. So those who show off in ibadah, they should be aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what goes on outside and inside the hearts of men. And that is a sign of those who will go to Jahannam. 34th sign is, say Shaitan, of causing someone who occupies an eminent and dignified position to be removed from his post. Allahu Akbar. You somehow or the other perhaps are in a position of some kind of power, but you hate somebody else for their position and their power. This goes on in companies particularly. This goes on in organizations. Like our masjid committees and our, you know, welfare body communities and our educational, you know, masjid, madrasa, school committees and so on, where there's a jostling for position. Everybody wants to be president and everybody wants to be secretary. Everybody wants to be treasurer and so on. And so there's a fighting for position. And what you do is either by spreading, oh, there's so many ways, brother, spreading false rumor about the person, or, you know, spreading any kind of falsehood about this person, and you try and have him removed and dismissed from that particular position. Innocent man who perhaps cannot fight back. Alright? But he's a pious man, a God-fearing man. All of us are not given the ability of speech. All of us are not given to fighting back. Alright? And this man may be a soft person, but a good person. Perhaps elected or perhaps placed in a position of trust because of his piety. And now you are jostling and fighting for that position. So all you have to do is let out some false rumor about this person, and eventually that particular committee or organization gets together and they decide to have such a person removed from his post. That is what we're talking about. Says Shaitan, that kind of person that does that kind of thing, breach and treachery, that person, it is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. 35th sign of people who will go to Jahannam, says Shaitan, is people who are restless, impatient and agitated. Brothers, mark this. We get this, and you and I sometimes have this within us also. All the time we are restless. We never at ease, never at peace, never contented. Alright, always dissatisfied, restless, impatient, agitated. You see it in the man's eyes, you see it in his ways, you see it in the woman's actions and so on. Male and female this applies to. This is a sign of a person, this agitation that is caused is a sign, this restlessness is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. Because he is an easy captive, she is an easy captive of Shaitan. Restlessness is not a good thing. It may be caused by many, many factors, alright brothers, psychological factors, it may be caused by sickness and disease and so on and so on. Again I say there is a formula for this, and after these lessons we will be dealing with these formulas in greater detail. Alright, we will do that section when it comes, then I will mention this to you. How to overcome the weaknesses that are within us. You know, whatever psychological factors. We live in times of great stress and tension. But brothers, if one is, the stress and tension comes about as a result of dissatisfaction and discontentment with one's taqdeer. But the moment you accept, you make it a part of your belief and iman that I am satisfied with my life, then you will not agitate against the laws of the land, against the peoples, against your enemies, against the opposition, because you will be gratified. You will say, no, this is by the grace of Allah. This is by Allah. And Allah has so made my fate so, and Allah has decreed so, so I accept it. Then that restlessness goes away. Shaitan, of course, here you understand, he is the usurper and he's the enemy. He's the one who makes restlessness a greater trait in a person. So try and rid yourself of that. And I've given you the simple formula, the deeper formula, what to recite, what to read, and what the action should be, sleeping and when or going to bed, and when arising, and during the day. Those will be given to you in its appropriate section, that we are going to do that. In the meantime, all I can say is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you explain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I have this restlessness in me and this impatience in me, guide me, help me, I turn to you, I seek of you, I ask you, it is wrong within me. I have learned that this will take me to Jahannam. It is a sign, not take me to Jahannam, it is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. A sign which one can be rid of. Then, oh Allah, help me to remove it. And brothers, there is nothing that Allah will not grant you if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. You make the effort thereafter. Allah will help you. Allah will guide you. You will become a very stronger person from within. The 36th feature of those who will go to Jahannam is to be happy and contented with the good things of this world and to indulge and enjoy them to such a degree that one forgets about the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Those people will also go to Jahannam, says Shaitan. It is a sign and a feature of people who are happy and contented with the good things of this world. Very happy. They work hard for it. And when they get it, when they obtain it, when they purchase it, when they put it in their homes and add it to their lives, to their possessions and to their properties, they are extremely happy and they cannot stop talking about it. They cannot stop touching it and feeling it and counting it and shining it and polishing it and keeping it close to them. Allahu Akbar. These people are very happy and contented with material things, whether it is money or whether it is property or whether it is possession, whatever. And to indulge and enjoy them to such a degree that one forgets about the hereafter. Alright, supposing it is in the form of wealth, then the only thing the person can think of is all the time is accumulating and buying, not sharing. Alright? And so forth. Anyway, what I'm saying basically without elaborating too much on it is, here it is, to be very happy and very contented with the good things of this world, which we may call the good life of this world, and to indulge and enjoy them to such a degree that one forgets about the hereafter. Remember, this is added, to enjoy them to such an extent that one forgets Akhirah. That is a rider in this particular saying of Shaitan. The 37th feature of Shaitan is by cutting oneself away from one's kindred, one's relatives and cousins with the same ancestry and by thus destroying the bonds of kinship and relationship. I've explained this, that look, in our case, here in South Africa, our ancestors came from other parts of the world, whichever the parts of the world were. So our ancestry may be third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation at the most. We are either fourth or fifth generation at the most, even if you take a period of 300 years. So whether we are third or fourth or fifth generation, I am fourth generation, and those in my age will most, all those who are older than me may be fifth or sixth generation, that's all. Alright? So what this means is our grandparents that came here, well, let's take it from them, then all those who have emerged from them, who by blood are linked with those people who came here first, meaning our great-grandfather and our great-grandmother. So we will number each one of us. My family would be about 200 altogether. We would be called blood, kith and kin. The Arabic word for this is, which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, is sila rahim. Means bound by the womb. Sila rahim, bound by the womb. So those who are bound by the womb, about them, say Shaitan, if one cuts oneself away, as I say, in my family, we would be about 200 plus. Alright, another two. We should be one unity. We should be completely united. We should share, we should care, we should sympathize, we should look after. In our joy we are together, in our sadness we are together, in our grief we are together, in our happiness we are together. We must never, never, Islamics, break our relationship and our ties. The only time we can do so is if he becomes a murtad, or he does, he violates and contravenes the laws of Islam. Alright? Then in that case we have justification, moral justification for breaking ties with a person who rebels or is rebellious to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the obedience of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alright, there you have some grounds, alright? But Shaitan says, any person who cuts oneself away from one's kindred, kith and kin, relatives and cousins with the same heritage, with a common link, with a common ancestry, and thus destroys the bonds of kinship and relationship, such a person is going to go to Jahannam. Right, the 38th description is by causing others to feel hopeless and helpless and to make others to despair and to feel despondent. Allahu Akbar. Any person, we have this type of people in the community. They go around making people feel hopeless. For example, a person, there are hundreds of examples. I'm only mentioning one or two. A person has perhaps run into some kind of trouble, financial difficulties. And now you go to him and you tell him, you know, you are just a hopeless case. I warned you so many times and look what you went and did. Now you've destroyed yourself. You have become bankrupt, or you've lost all your fortune, or you've lost your property, or, you know, all the rest of it. And now you rub it into such an extent that you give the man no hope whatsoever of ever being able to get out of his problems. You're not suggesting, you're not making any concrete suggestions to try and improve his lot. You make the man so despondent that he is on the verge of committing suicide. You drive him crazy, you drive him nuts with the way you talk to him. Alright? There are people who have this urge within them to destroy other people's. That instruction comes from Shaitan to them. And they are on the path, they just want to destroy others. This I find particularly in the females. They go around running others down. Look, many a times they have their own problems, they have their difficulties and so on, particularly as far as marriage is concerned, as far as children are concerned, mothers have great difficulties. For example, I'll give an example, sometime when parents phone me, mothers in particular, they phone to say their children are on drugs. Well, now what can we do? Now, the expectation is, unfortunately, this is through ignorance. The expectation is Maulana will give an azimat, a taweez, or some formula whereby the child will stop his drugs. You know, some magic word or spell I will use or cast or teach them whereby the child will simply leave drugs. This is the hope. But I do understand it is only a hope that maybe in Islam there exists such a formula, such a recipe which will make the child instantly leave that bad habit that he or she has got into. Brothers, there's no such thing. Those formulas only work when there is both intention and approaching action. You know, the right kind of action to make the will to make it succeed. Only where there's a willingness, then will those formulas succeed. But if there's a lack of willingness, and also there's no intention to improve one's lot and to come out of bad habits, it's not going to work. Any case, what I'm saying here is that one should be very, very careful, especially in my case, that I do not tell those parents and those mothers anything which will make them lose hope in them. Not that. I mean, drugs are terrible, brothers. And other habits are terrible, yes. Like children phoning and telling me, sons and daughters phoning and telling me of some of the habits of the parents. Alright? Sometimes it is single parents that are doing things that are haram. Or both parents are alive, but they are doing things or selling things or indulging in things which are haram. Now the parents come and ask, Mala, what shall we do? Can we live in that home? Can we continue to stay there? Can we continue to eat their food? And so on. Brothers, there's a lot of such difficulties in our communities. What do I do? It is difficult. Or supposing people phone or come to me and tell me, Maulana, I've done this wrong, I've committed this sin, but I desperately want to come out of it. I'm indulging in this, I'm leading an immoral life, or Maulana, I just don't know what to do, but I want to come out of it. I have to be very careful, brothers, as long as a person has not committed shirk, no kufr, bad habits all of us have, sins all of us commit, major or minor or whatever. But when there's a willingness and a person comes and he seeks our help, the help of the ulama or their parents, then always they must, the ruling guideline in this is compassion. Show compassion. Show immediate compassion. Take them into your arms. Give them comfort. Give them hope. And you will see how they will respond. If they do not respond, it is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us is but to try. We have to try and we have to attempt to obtain their compassion and their love and their respect. Well, here it is, brothers. So what Shaitan is saying, and of course Shaitan is now going to come and tell you to do such. So I speak very carefully to some mothers and explain to them with great love, great mercy and great sincerity. I try to instill in them the hope for their children or their husbands or their lives or whatever. So Shaitan says that those people who make others to feel hopeless and helpless, make them despair and to feel despondent with their lives, then this is a trait of people who will go to Jahannam. 39th. Number 39 is, by depriving, denying and frustrating other people's. Allahu Akbar. In other words, you take away somebody's haqq. This is a slight difference between the two. The one I said earlier and this one. By depriving, denying and frustrating others. You deny them, you basically deny them their rights. Each one of us, each human being has certain haqq. They have their certain rights. By denying them their rights, their privileges, that which is legitimately theirs, their legitimate rights, then we inflict upon them injury, grief, and to make others to feel aggrieved because of your doing, or because of you denying them their haqq and their rights, then this is also a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. Number 40. Number 40, say Shaitan, is that person who is cynical, morose, surly, sour, stern, cross or peevish with other peoples. Mark this. He is not expansive. He is not, you know, a person that gives the sign of being peaceful and contented from within. He's a surly person. Whatever you ask him, yes, no, do it. That type of person, I'm basically. He is not an open-hearted person. There is no sincerity in his speech, in his features, in his ways, in his habits, in his conduct with others. He makes you feel small. He hurts you by his manner and his ways. Such a person is one who it is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. So the words I've used here, taken from the Arabic, and I've given it as close the English equivalent as I can, a cynical person and a morose person, surly, sour, stern, and cross, peevish person, a foulish person, a person with a very foul, with foul manners. 41. The 41st feature of those who will go to Jahannam is as follows. of unjustly punishing or troubling other peoples, making life hard and difficult for other people. We must make life easy for others, not difficult for others. All right? It may be a senior person or a person in control, and if he does things or says things or puts out laws that are unjust, whereby he seeks to punish and trouble other people, make life difficult for other people, it is a sign of a person who will go to Jahannam. 42nd, number 42. Number 42, says Shaitan, of those of suspecting and mistrusting other peoples. In brackets I have put here without proof. Where there is proof, of course, one has to take certain precautions. For example, we will not trust a person who has been known to abuse funds, money. Alright? Any person who has been held in a position of trust and has abused funds, or who has had been entrusted with a certain amount of authority and has abused authority, and this has known and it's a proven fact, we will not make such a person, we will not entrust such a person with the honor of others. We will, with either money or with other obligations. Alright? So what Shaitan is saying, basically, he is saying here, of suspecting and mistrusting others, we, without proof, must not own. Sometimes you hear people saying, you know, this person looks like this, talks like this, acts like this, you know, we may say, this man, you hardly hear him speaking. He hardly talks. He's not a person to be trusted. Now, how they have come to this conclusion, only Allah knows. But they come to this merely by looking at people. Or they say, you know, Mulana, this man, he's got a head like this, shape like this, or he's got hands, face like this, or he walks in a certain gait and a manner. He's not a person that must be trusted. Alright? Or they say, you know, he lives in that area there, Mulana, and Ammal Skalam's Blada. So watch this man. Things like that. Alright? Basically, brothers, what this means is Shaitan's waswas. We have no proof. Some of the most excellent and most moral of people have lived in the worst backgrounds. Alright? So we have to be very careful. Now that is how Shaitan works, brothers. So, those who suspect and mistrust other peoples, that is a sign of a person who will go to Jannah. Number 43. We're coming to the end of this. Number 43. People, say Shaitan, who are impulsive and hasty, saying and doing things very quickly, coming to conclusions very quickly on all matters and issues, not thinking a matter through properly, not evaluating a situation properly, not analyzing a matter, you know, and deliberating over it for any length of time. They come to conclude just like that, just like sparks of fire, quickly. So Shaitan says, those who are very impulsive and hasty, they are people, these are signs of people who will go to Jahannam. Number 44. By being imprudent and indiscriminate in their actions and their words. Allahu Akbar. There runs a line of similarity between many of these features, but there are differences. The 44th feature, says Shaitan, those who are imprudent and indiscriminate in their actions and in their words. They hurt people. They say foolish things about people. They do not think matters, and so on. Number 45. Those who are irresolute, liberal, and lenient in their ways. Allahu Akbar. In other words, they do anything they feel like, brothers. There is no discipline, no rule, no ethics, nothing. No law governs their lives. They do as they please. No rules control their lives. They are totally loose-lipped. Whatever comes in the minds, they just utter it. They say things that may harm others. They say things that may bring joy to others. Alright? And so on. But they are careless people. Irresolute, liberal, and lenient people. In other words, they are free-thinking people who do not think they should conform to any rule or law. The 46th description is as follows. By being wasteful, extravagant, and excessive. Those who are lavish and ostentatious in their lives, brothers. This I need not elaborate on. People who are wasteful, extravagant, and excessive in all their ways and actions. They overbuy, overeat, overindulge. In everything they are extravagant. That is the type of person. Shaitan says, those are the type of people who will go to Jahannam. They don't control themselves. 47. The 47th trait and feature, says Shaitan, is by being capricious. Who is a capricious person? A capricious person is a person who changes his mind. He tells you now, brother, I will be leaving in the next 5 minutes. You come back, he says, man, I'll leave in 15 minutes time. You come back again, you ask, brother, I'm waiting for you. What? He says, no, man, I will leave after an hour. By way of example. All right. He's a person who cannot make up his mind. He's a capricious person. Many a time this is done willfully. All right. He just wants you to know that he is in authority. He is in control. Things like that. Right? This is the smallness of the mind and the smallness of men. This is born through ignorance. Anyway, Shaitan says capricious people like this, in other words, erratic and inconsistent people, keep changing their minds. Keep changing. You don't know what they're going to do next. Their life is not mapped out. Their timetable is not disciplined. People like that, say Shaitan, it is a sign of people, or these are signs of people who go to Jahannam. Number 48, Shaitan says, people who are contrary. In other words, they say something but do something else. He says he is going but he doesn't go. He says he's going to do this but he doesn't do. He doesn't even intend doing it, but he tells you he's going to do this. He says, you meet me here, but in his heart he's already made me up, he's not going to meet you there. Alright? So, people who act contrary to their word. People who are unrestrained and undisciplined in their life. Now the word contrary, unrestrained, undisciplined all goes together. There is no discipline. You do not know what the worth of such a man is. Not a man of character, not a man of any high demeanor or character. Shaitan says these are the type of people who will go to Jahannam. The 49th type of person who will go to Jahannam is one who is always dirty, unclean and slovenly. There are people that are like this also, brothers. They feel that by being dirty and unclean and slovenly, slapdash, anyhow, uncaring, they are revealing perhaps their religiosity, perhaps they are showing that they have a lot of taqwa, a lot of piety and so on. No, brothers. You may have the minimum. Your clothes may be torn, but it can be patched and so forth. It can be washed and it can be cleaned. The place where you live can always be washed and cleaned. Alright? There is no need for being dirty. So, dirty and smelling and so on. Alright? All these things are... A Muslim doesn't harbor this kind of life. So, the 49th description of a person who will go to Jahannam, says Shaitan, is dirty people, unclean people, and slovenly people. They always have a smell on them. Brothers, here I may mention something that hurts me quite often also, and other brothers have told me about this also, is when we come to the masjid, we go to the masajid for prayers, for ibadah, and they tell me about the people who smoke. Brothers, this is a terrible habit. You know, the smell of tobacco remains in your mouth. One or two gargles is not enough. You need to use miswak. Brothers, here is for people. If you have this bad habit and you can't let it go, then keep that miswak and make it a habit, because miswak removes better than a toothbrush. Miswak removes all that, and then you are carrying out a sunnah. And then slowly, with the barakah of miswak, you will see you will leave smoking as well. Inshallah. Toothbrush will not achieve that, because a toothbrush is not close to sunnah. A toothbrush does achieve the purpose of cleaning your mouth, cleaning your teeth and so on. But a miswak goes one step further, because it brings pleasure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see a Muslim carrying out the sunnah and the habit of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously that brings a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nur enters the heart of the person, and in this way he will be able to overcome his weakness of smoking. So be very, very wary of that. Then we proceed with number 50. There's 57 brothers, 7 more to go. 50. By preferring those who prefer to remain uninformed. Listen to this one very carefully. The 50th one, by preferring to remain ignorant, uninformed, unacquainted and unapprised of the necessary teachings of the deen and the sharia of Islam. Time and again, they have been told, salah, there's a methodology and a system. Salah, zakah, hajj, You know, Saum, yes, Zikrullah, you know, everything has a methodology. There is a system, a Sunnah system, alright? And if a person goes through life, alright, he is now 15 years old, 20, 25, 30, let's take it in 5 years and he goes on and he lives up to say 90, 80, 90 years old. Every 5 years, he is exactly the same. There should be look, the knowledge of Islam is vast, tremendous. No person can acquire it. No person can say that I have received a degree in Islam, now I know everything. It will never be reached, alright? We need to develop and increase our knowledge all the time. Okay. So what I'm saying basically is that person who now remains, I know my deen. I don't have to go to classes, I don't have to read Islamic literature, I do not have to listen to any tapes and cassettes on deen, I don't have to go to an ustad, we need an ustad our whole life, brothers. We can be 80, 90 until the day we die, we need an ustad all the time. So, anybody, a Muslim, shaitan says, those who prefer to remain uninformed and unapprised of the laws of their deen, this is a sure sign, says shaitan, of people who will go to Jahannam. 51. To be happy and to express satisfaction at the downfall and suffering of other peoples. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan says a feature of a person who will go to Jahannam is that when anybody falls down, then he says, you see, I told you so. See, I, it's a long time I've been telling him not to do so. He is going to drop, he's going to suffer, this is going to happen to him and that is going to happen to him and that is... Brothers, that is not in our hands. You've got so much power that you can say who's going to rise, who's going to drop, who's going to get a disease and who's going to get so on. No, brothers, it is not in our power now. Whenever anybody drops, for whatever reason, whenever anybody falls, whenever anybody suffers, when anybody, for example, in our time, alright, people can't meet their rentals so they lose their homes. Now you cannot pass sentence in judgment. Even if you have told that brother or sister that, look brothers, sister, do this, don't do this. When he falls, my pain will be with him. For whatever reason, but my pain will be with him. In other words, I will empathize, I will sympathize, I will do all in my power to try and help that person to get back on their feet. It is that love, that neighborliness, that akhuwa, that maybe will bring that brother or sister to their senses and make them into better peoples. Alright, so shaitan says, what does he say? He says those people who express satisfaction and laughter and glee at the downfall and the suffering of other peoples. This is a sure sign of people who will go to Jahannam. Number 52, shaitan says those who bear malice, grudge, spite, hatred, or to bear rancor and enmity towards others. Allahu Akbar. Look at all these words. In Arabic, there's only 2 words used. And I've had to use all these words to describe the kind of people who will go to Jahannam. Anybody who bears malice, is malicious towards other people, or he bears them a grudge, he is spiteful towards them, he hates others, alright? For whatever reason, does not matter, he hates others. Even if a brother is doing wrong, hatred is not necessary. You feel bad about it. But we can always do something, we can put in a good word, we can try and prevent him from doing so. Amar bil ma'ruf and nahyun munkar, we can do our job towards him, our duty. And he bears rancor and enmity towards other peoples, there is a lack of empathy. Such a person, these are signs of people who will go to Jahannam. Number 53, robbing, thieving, pillaging, and stealing from others. Whatever you take over which you have no haq, it can be one grain of rice. But if it has been taken without consent, it constitutes stealing. I'm saying without permission and consent. You go into a shop. I've done this as a child. You may have done it also. May Allah forgive all of us. We go into a shop, and then in the old days, not so many old people here, I'm not old, but I can remember, they used to pack in bins rice and beans and lentils. They never used to come prepackaged or prepackaged. Now, all used to be loose. Now you go and you ask for a pound of rice, or a pound of beans, or a pound of lentils, or a pound of sugar, and so on, and then, or flour, and then they put it into a little bag, brown bag, and then they weigh on a scale, and they were not electronic scales either. They used to put, a weight on one side, 1 kilo or half a kilo, it was in pounds, 1 pound, half pound, quarter pound, and then they throw it into there, and then they throw it into the bag, and they give it to you. Brothers, very often our hands used to stray there. It used to stray there because it was kept outside, so you can look at the stuff. And few grains of rice we used to pop into our mouths. Alright? Or something else. Alright? Or something else. See, some of you shaking your head, so you know what I'm talking about. But that was completely haram, brothers. That is, there was no consent given to us. That constitutes stealing. So what I'm trying to say, even a minor thing like that, alright? Now what about big things where people steal properties of others, where people steal so many things of other people? Alright? Without their consent and without their permission. Shaitan says that is a sure sign. All these are forms of stealing. And of course there's another thing, stealing time. Let's leave the working man alone. A mudarris, a person who's been appointed to teach a class, deen. And it is told to him as part of his job that look, Sheikh, Maulana, Ustad, Khalifa, whoever, it is told to him that look, your instructions are, we will pay you X amount and you must teach from X time to X time. Let's say you must teach from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. This is your salary. And day after day the man comes 5 minutes late here, 5 minutes early there, 10 minutes late there, look, if it is because of delay in traveling and so on, occasionally one can understand. But even if occasionally, the man should be so, that Muslim should be so careful that he pays it in. Or do like my ustads used to do and our ustads do. At the end of the month they deduct for the time underworked. They make the deduction, they say, look, this month we were supposed to work 60 hours a month, we've worked only 51 hours, 9 hours deduction. The man does it himself, the ustad does it himself. He says, 9 hours less time work, there's my deduction, here's from my salary. He opens his envelope and he puts it back in the envelope and he returns it to the chairman. Allahu Akbar, brothers. Where is that life of Muslims gone to? So not only when it comes to stealing time is also stealing. And brothers, this applies, our ulama say, even if you are working for a non-Muslim company. Even if you are working for a non-Muslim firm, it applies there also. There is an agreement which you must respect. You must not steal time as you must not waste time. Alright? I often see people that are working for various companies and then they finish up a job and before returning to the job, they will while their time. You know, people that are in the artisan business, electricians, plumbers and so on, working on a job or a site, subcontracting and so on, then they will do this. They will finish up a job and it's finished about 2 hours before the time, an hour, half an hour before the time, but they can't go and clock in at half an hour, 1 hour earlier, otherwise they won't receive the proper packet. So they'll while their way, drive around, sit outside a place here and kill time and so on, and then go and clock in time. No, brothers. A Muslim does not do that. Not because he wants to be witwit, not because he wants to be in the good books of his employer. No, because of the discipline and the teaching of Islam that you must not steal. That also constitutes stealing. Alright, brothers. Number 54 is as follows. Shaitan says, to be profane and blasphemous. You know, we have people that use FNBs like, you know, they use bad language and foul language and swear words as if it means nothing. It means nothing. It's you know, with every word they use a swear word, and some of them think they are doing something very wonderful, but it is a breach of the law, and it is breaking the rules of Islam, breaking the rules of Sharia. It is through the prompting of Shaitan, the waswas of Shaitan. They must know this. They must get rid of that habit, because it is a sign of people. It signals those who will go to Jahannam. Number 55: to be impious and irreverent. Impious and irreverent, in other words, the man follows no norms, no values, no standards. He's like a person who's not a... When you say, I'm a Muslim, it means you have to lead a life of a certain kind. Your life must typify, it must exemplify Islam. Now this man has got no reverence, he's no respect, azan is going, for example, I'll just give one example, because as I say, there can be hundreds of... Azan is going and this man has got the music on in his home. Just a simple example of how many of us show irreverence. And then he just can't be bothered and he leaves the music on. Alright, blaring. First of all, the music should not even be there, but no respect for azan. Alright, I know of many non-Muslim people who respect azan to such an extent that they will turn quiet for that period. They will listen and they will make their remarks on the azan, some praising it, others making their statement. But anyway, they will relax for that moment. Why can't we Muslims do the same? That is one thing. Alright, irreverent and impious. Look at the way that Muslims dress. And they will laugh. Some say they have got a kafan on, and they will have a good laugh. Our Barelvi friends happen to do that. That is a sunnah libas, or as close to sunnah as possible, the long cloak that we wear, the long shirts that we wear, the long kurtas that we wear, they will mock and laugh. Alright? And if you have a kufiya on, you have got a hat, a topi on your head, that is also a matter of mockery. What about the girls with their scarves, the women folk with their scarves? There are other women who laugh at them because they've got, you know, what does she try to show? She's trying to show she's so pious and so on and so on. For what reason? If a woman has got parda on and she's covered, or she's got a veil covering her face and so on, then she's made a mockery of, not by the non-Muslims, but by the Muslim sisters themselves. Muslim brothers and sisters themselves will make a mockery of her. You know what that is? I wonder if they are aware what they... So this is what it means to be impious and irreverent. The sha'airullah, those signs and symbols of sunnah which bespeak of the greatness of Islam and the purity of Islam, to make a mockery of those symbols and signs, what is that? That is a sign of people. That is the kind of people who will go to Jahannam. 56. One more to go. 56. The people that are hypocritical. I did not use the word hypocrites. Hypocritical extends, is more extensive. It is more descriptive. It encompasses a greater variety of people. Hypocrites are only the munafiqeen. But to be hypocritical means all those who display false piety. Every kind of false piety. Alright? Not only by being munafiq, by going against the very beliefs and teachings of Islam, and so on. False pretenses, false piety, display of, you know, all kinds of false things. Those are the people that are hypocritical. They are the kind of people who will go, who feign piety. They are people who will go to Jahannam. And the 57th, says Shaitan, are those people who are hard-hearted and unsympathetic. This word hard-hearted has been used in the Quran to describe the Bani Israel people also. So those people who become hard-hearted, you know, greed and selfishness and lust for power and materialist outlook on life, seeking pleasure all the time, it makes a person very, very hard. Not giving zakat, sadaqah, khairat and all these things makes a person very hard-hearted and unsympathetic towards others. These are, Shaitan now concludes, this is the final words of Shaitan after saying this. He says, these are the features and the typical characteristics of those who will go to Jahannam. And my task, what I am saying now, I've added on a little few extra to explain these words of Shaitan. He says, these are the features to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, these are the features and the typical characteristics of those who will go to Jahannam. And my task will be to incite them towards it by the artful designs and devices that I have at my disposal. And I do not intend leaving them in peace, but coming at them from all sides. These words are in brackets. I have added them. This is what Shaitan says to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that his task will be that to incite people to go further and further, to go into Jahannam. So he will use all the powers and all the artful designs and devices that are at his disposal to try and make as many in mankind as possible to enter hell. And he said, I do not intend leaving mankind in peace, but I will attack them from all sides, from front and from behind. Alright, from the left and the right, from all sides I'm going to attack them. Here is a commentary to end off today's talk. All in all, 57 features that bode ill for Muslims have been mentioned to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Shaitan in Jannatul Baqi. It will do us a lot of good to know them well. This is most important, for by knowing them, we should be able to avoid these bad habits. This is most important, for by knowing them, we should be able to avoid them. This is important. All of these are bad habits and evil traits, manners and customs in men. They are thoroughly destructive habits. Shaitan starts off by mentioning the worst sin that men can commit. That is shirk, polytheism, which is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan mentions 7 varieties or distinctions, varieties of shirk that he will lead men towards through his evil suggestions and persuasions, so that they can go to hell and burn therein forever. Thereafter, Shaitan mentions numerous evil and hateful habits which are detestable, all of them, and abominable. These evil habits in men raise within men animal instincts, and the intellectual and the intellect and a reason of men is then driven and propelled by these baser instincts and feelings and passions, and men become selfish and mean and depraved. Their arrogance and impiety may even be admired by some people who are ignorant in the community. But this is by the nature of things. It is propitiated by Shaitan. In other words, it is instilled and incited by Shaitan into the hearts of men. Unless